cell phones and turn over to 1 John. 1 John. I'm going to look at some things there this morning. Cell phones are great if you have the Bible app on it. Cell phones are great when we can use it to the glory of God. I said today, young people have no excuse for not knowing the Word of God. They carry it in their pocket all the time. Wherever they go to appointments or to see somebody or spend time waiting, they can pull out their phone and read the Word of God because it's right in their hands. No excuse. And I really believe God has brought it into existence so that men and women would have that availability to them to use it. And the power of it goes beyond what we can even imagine and we can think. I often wonder why verses come to me and why I know what I do about the Word of God. And I never went to Bible school. But it was the time I spent in the Word of God. Not that I was a diligent person, a scholar at trying to find out what the Bible said. But the number of times I took Bible studies and taught young people and went to camp and heard all the messages at camp. And at that time, we know what it was like. I can go back to Barb because Barb understands what I'm going to say. We had at least 5 meetings a week. The Lord's table on Sunday, the Sunday school and Bible hour, and then the Sunday evening service. And then we'd have a Wednesday night Bible study. But on top of that, then we'd have a kids club program. And then I'd have young people's at the end. And if I didn't go to church on Sunday to listen to a message, I was usually in the Sunday school class teaching somebody else about the Word of God. That's how I learned. And it's an encouragement to young people. If you not want to know the Word of God, get into it or get involved with people who are taking you into the Word of God. I was thinking of the young people's program that I worked with, and also Sunday school and Bible studies, which I was responsible for or became a part of and did part of it. That's how I learned what was in the Word of God. And my idea of learning the Word of God was to know more than what my students knew. Isn't that important? To know more than our students, because so often, I think today in the situation where we have our teachers today, it's important that they know more than we do in order to teach us. Well, this morning, I could go on this morning for a little while, but I've already enjoyed the Lord's table this morning. And you know, there was silence there. There's periods of silence. But it wasn't boring. You know, I don't want to go to the Lord's table because it's so boring. All you do is sit there and listen. You know, the Word, it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's important in the day and age we live in, rushing around and doing all the things we have and all the options we have. And what do we find? We don't be still and know that He is God. And it's so important. It's very important. I'll take a minute and just... My wife is going to be here today. We planned for it. We were supposed to sing. I gave the okay to a couple that look after the praise team and Graphite on Tuesday night that we would sing on this Sunday for Graphite for their... with the praise team, and but little did I know that when we got to the end of the week, that I would get a phone call to ask me if I would come here, and knowing the maybe you shouldn't put it this way predicament you were in. I got the speakers for Graphite Bible Chapel for years. I don't know how many years I was responsible for booking speakers. So I knew what it was like if a speaker backed out because the pressure was on me. I didn't like that pressure. The pressure was on me. So I was responsible for coming up with someone. So when I found out that Paul couldn't be here, and I was going to say this morning, I've shrunk, and I'm not quite as humorous as Paul. But, and I knew Gary had been away last weekend. His two sons took him on a fishing trip, a Father's Day fishing trip away, and he said he caught more fish in the time he spent together than he had his whole life. And not that he was a great, fantastic, all-the-time fisherman, but he did catch a lot of fish and had a great time. And then yesterday, I was going to go through some of the things we've done this week, but you don't want to hear how busy my world is. And so yesterday, I gave consent to my nephew, Lloyd. He has the Robinson air filter exchange. And he had to go down to Pembroke to the combi board plant there and take out 700 and some filters that were in a dust collector and replace them. And so eight of us took off yesterday morning at 5:30, and I ended back home at 8 o'clock last night. So Jan, knowing that it was going to be a long day for Gary and him coming on the fishing trip and being busy yesterday, my brother Bob had him busy, on Friday. She didn't figure he would be fit to come and speak to you today. So I am here. As I was looking for a message, and this is for you young guys out there, and people that are, I'm not behind this pulpit all the time. I only fill in. I'm kind of the substitute when you have a broken window. And so I'm here today to fill in. And so you're saying, well, where do you come up with your messages? Where does it come from? Well, it's leaning on God. Leaning on God. I mentioned this morning about God speaking to me in the middle of the night, giving me a COVID song. Oh God of matchless grace. That was my COVID song in the middle of the night. But sometimes I'd be searching and wondering, God, what have you got for me to share with these people? What have you got for me? And so the question came to me in the middle of the night. What do you know for sure? What do you know for sure? And immediately, my mind went back to 1 John. Back when I was getting my university, and I was in my Bachelor of Ed in Kingston, I would drive up on Friday nights to Bethel Chapel in Belleville and work with the youth there. I had to have a program where I was working outside the school with a group of people. Some coached hockey, some taught swimming, all those kind of things that they were involved with. And one of them was, so I got a chance to work with the youth there. And I remember back that far, that was a long time ago, that was in the early 70s, okay? Some of you weren't even existing at that time. Maybe not even thought of at that time. The early 70s, and I had done a study with the young people on 1 John. I'd gone through it, I'd study it, and I remember that in that book, as the Apostle John, as he wrote that book, he talked about, we know. And so it came to me, and so I decided that I was going to do a bit of research and follow the Lord's guiding in what he wanted me to say. What do you know for sure? How many have ever been asked that question? You never been asked that question? What do you know for sure? Oh my goodness, I figured everybody, because I've had that thrown at me. What do we know for sure? And we could go on, I know I got an ache in my left heel, and I know it's raining out. Like yesterday at Graphite, it was really raining. I know that... I pull up my driver's license and I can drive a car, and my driver's license is R602209515019. Yeah, it's me. And I also pull out another one with a picture. It's my birth certificate. It doesn't have a picture, but birth certificate. Yeah, that's me. And then I have an FAC card. That means I'm allowed to carry a gun. And I look at it, and I see a picture of myself in there and said, look, you look too much like a criminal. They shouldn't have even given you this. You don't like your picture. So as a result of that, you say all these things about things around us. When we, as a child of God, and as John speaks here, he's talking to the believers, and he's talking to the believers, and he's saying to them, I know. What do you know for sure? Well, I trust this morning there's a few things we're going to look at. We're not going to look at all the no's. I think it comes down to something like 40 of them that is in the Epistle of John, Epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And we find there that he talks to them about what he knows when he starts out. But you know, there's one thing we can be sure of. And I don't like what I'm going to say today, but we have to realize it's true. This world is in a mess. This world is in a mess. I want you to listen while I read to you something that I found over in Romans. I didn't really find it. It's been written there a long time. And I've known it. But it goes right back to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Starting at verse 18, it says this: the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. In other words, look around you every day. Look around you every day. What do you see? God. God in nature. The beauty of what he has given us to enjoy. He's saying man has no excuse if they just look around and see God's handiwork. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. What did they do? They made idols. They made idols. And therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than their Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved nation to do what ought to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. They do not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Sound familiar? Just very familiar to our world today. What's our world about? Well, it's in a mess. And it's not getting any better. It's not getting any better. There are no absolutes. All is relative. My opinion is as good as yours. Therefore, truth is what I think it is. Reason. The reason man doesn't want to be accountable, especially if it is God's word. At one time, police were respected since their responsibility was to keep us lawful. Today, that respect is non-existent. More and more, it seems that to break the law makes one a hero. Today, there's the cry to defunct the police, because it represents order and responsibility or accountability. John in his epistle wanted us to know that there were things we could be certain of. In fact, 42 times. And there's a reference, the Greek word reference to the I know or to know. The first thing John wants us to know is this. And we're going to turn there now to 1 John, if you've already got it, and so it's on your phone. We can turn there, and the first thing he wanted us to know is, in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, that we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we claim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write things to make your joy, or our joy, complete. What John is saying here is, I saw him, I touched him, I heard him, I walked with him. John was that disciple we hear talked about in Scripture where his head was always on Jesus' shoulder. He couldn't get any closer to him because he wanted that relationship with him. And John is saying, we have seen him. We testify to the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. One of the most disturbing things that we read about in the newspapers and places today is the very fact that churches are not saying that Jesus is the Son of God. They're saying he was just a good man. He was just a good man. And we know that is wrong. That is what the cults tell us. It's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that He was God's Son. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. There's no mistake in it. And John's trying to convincing believers, would you think, that Jesus was the Son of God. Well, in John 2 and 3, John chapter 2, verse 3, it says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Our brother this morning was sharing with us the obedience part of walking with God. Obedience part to the word of God. Wanting the will of God in our lives. See, we can't separate obeying God and the will of God, because they're all one. If I want to follow God, I have to be willing to obey what His commands say. We have to obey what His word says. Or else. We'll find later on as I go through, and I'm skipping through my mind a little ahead here, where in John he says, if you want to be my disciple, you must obey my word. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. See, it isn't just simply accepting Jesus and making Jesus the one who died for me, but accepting Jesus and make Him Lord and Master of my life. Lord and Master of my life. If we know Him, we're going to obey Him. So when you see people and you question people when they're not obeying God and yet they're saying, I'm a Christian, we got reason to doubt whether they really belong to God or not, because John is saying it here. John is saying that if we are a true believer, we will follow God's word. In John 14 and 15, the gospel, he tells his disciples, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And we have to take into consideration when we're reading that, what color is it in your Bible, those words? Red. What does red letters tell us? Jesus spoke it. It's really important. Not only is the black words important, but the red ones are even more. Because Jesus is speaking to us as He spoke to His disciples through those red letters. Well, the question came to me as I was going through. How do you measure up? How do you measure up to the obedience part of it? Well, John has set a really high bar for us to measure up to, hasn't he? If we say that we know Him, but we don't like using this word. But I remember as a kid saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. Remember that? Maybe you never used it. But John says you're a liar if you don't do what you say. And a liar is one who doesn't tell the truth. A liar is one who stretches the truth, tries to stretch the truth, doesn't tell it as it should be. You know, I was never a good storyteller. My brother Bob could tell you a story and you'd be rolling on the floor in laughter because he could tell it in a way that was very humorous. Paul Mackey has the same ability to do that. I enjoy Paul, and I enjoy listening to him, but he has that ability to make you laugh. I never had that. But you know, we have to tell the truth as the truth is. In my character, in my personality, I was too black and white. It was either right or it's wrong. That's the way I am. So, if I talk to you and I'm fairly straightforward, when you ask me questions, I'm saying, well, I don't see it that way. The reason is because that's the way I see it, the perspective I see it. A self-proclaimed Christian just doesn't cut it. We live in a world that says, I'll do it my way. I went to a funeral one time, and the top song at the funeral was a guy that sang this song, I'll Do It My Way. Boy, that hit me. I didn't like it. Why? Because the Word of God tells us in John 14 and 6, what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Doesn't matter what people are saying, you can get there any way you like, or any time you like, when you want to. No. Doesn't say that. The Word of God doesn't tell us that. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And His commands refer to the His word, God's words. These were God's words. And it refers to the inerrant word of God. In Judges 17 and 6, and 21 and 25, we have this repeated over again twice in the book of Judges, one of the darkest books in the history of the children of Israel. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. What was so evil? Well, they turned to idols. They began to worship idols. After God had revealed himself to the children of Israel, they turned around and they carved images and they made wood and stone and turned them into idols. And they turned away from God. As a result, God turned away from them. Well, we know that's not true, is it? God is as close to us today as he will be for eternity almost. God doesn't move away. Who moves away? We do. We move away. We put the separation line between us and God. And we know what causes that. It's a little word called sin. And the children of Israel were so taken up with it. And God would send along certain individuals. Sometimes a lady, sometimes it was a man. They were called judges. And they would give some measure of help to the children of Israel being taken out of their bondage to usually foreign armies. And give them some deliverance from it. We read about Gideon. You know, God raised him up, found him in a threshing, in a building, threshing some grain, and hiding from the Philistines because he knew that if he was seen and they came, they would steal all his food and he would be left hungry. And God used Gideon. When he came to him, he said, "Who, great, mighty warrior?" And Gideon said, "Who are you talking to?" "Lord, you must be mistaken. It must be my neighbor, somebody down the street. It's not me." God said, "It's you. I want to use you." Great lesson in that for you and I, isn't there? God may come to you and speak to you and want to use you, and you're saying, "Oh yeah, but the pastor over there, that elder, or somebody else is better for doing that than I am." And God's saying, "No, I want you, because I'm speaking to you." There's one of the things I've often said in ministry, or I've made known, is the fact that one of the things that if I was to relive my life, God gave me a second chance, not that I care to, but if he did, that I would listen to that still small voice speaking to me, wanting me to follow the will of God. Yeah, God has. God used some of my life and just made me shudder that he used me. Because I followed that little, still, small voice. But I wished I'd done it more because I missed out on the joy of doing it and knowing that it was God's hand. God's hand. The greatest thing we can strive for. This morning, I shared a verse and I shared a song, which was on the heart of Barb this morning. I had the verse and the song didn't come to me till I was sitting here at the Lord's table. Barb was up here. I waited for her to come in, so I didn't see her before the service, so I couldn't tell her what I was thinking. She couldn't tell me what I was thinking. But a verse I used when I was speaking or praying, and the song that God immediately put into my heart was one that was on her heart. The verse was in the devotion she read this morning and the song came to her. That's the Spirit of God using you. And that's what's so beautiful about the Lord's table. I love the Lord's table. I love it from that perspective. I went to Florida one time and we went to a big church. It was, and no offense to anybody being Baptist here, but it was a big Baptist church in the States because most of the churches are pretty big. But we were with some friends, and they were close friends of us. They were just like mom and dad to Gary and I. and our families, and they take us down to Florida, and they take us all over and show us different things, and I would have never got there, never done the things we did if he hadn't have done it. And they said, where do you want to go to church this morning? We said, look, we're your guests. It's up to you. So we'll go to church. So we went to church that morning, and there was a beautiful service, a real good service. And at the end of the service, they kind of paused for a moment, and then Pinky turned to us and said, I forgot, this is communion service day, Sunday. And we said, fine, we'll sit in it. I've never really gone to anything but a brother at Lord's table. And so a gentleman got up, and they had some songs, beautiful songs, very appropriate. And one of them I thought was very appropriate for the Lord's table, the one you're saying, we want to see you. We want to see you. That's very appropriate to the Lord's table. Because every time I come and I come to the table, I want to see him. Not me. Not anybody else. I come to meet with him because of what he's done for me. And so we and the sermon. He had the guy get up and another pastor get up and give a fantastic, I don't know what that was about. And then, I can't remember back to that. But I know that then they gave out the emblems. And I thought, here I am. I'm sitting here just like any other person here. And I'm being a recipient of something that I can't be a part of. Oh yeah, I prayed. I give thanks for the cup and I give thanks for the loaf. But I couldn't be a part of it. Where in the brethren assemblies, I was taught from when I was old enough to stand up to going to the Lord's table with my mom, not my dad. My dad didn't attend the Lord's table. And never did through his lifetime. Wasn't saved until he was 45. But mom would take us, and I'd want to go with mom to the Lord's table. And at the little church of Graphite. And I learned there that I had a responsibility as a man to help the ladies out. Because they weren't allowed to speak. And so I have the responsibility of standing up and sharing something from my heart that God has laid there. So I cultivated that. And I'm telling you, young people today, you have to cultivate it. It's something you have to work on. It's not just something that happens. Oh, you're gifted. Go ahead. You know, it says in the Word of God that God doesn't use all the gifted people for his glory. He uses those that are simple and confounded, those that are scared to get up in front of people. They're scared to talk. They're scared to say things. God uses those people. And you know what it is? It's the greatest joy in the world when you know that God uses you. That God is using you. When there's so many other people in the world that he could choose to use rather than you. But he wants to use you. It's like the thought that, okay, somebody calls and says, okay, Boyd, would you take a message or would you come and speak? And what am I going to speak on? I don't know what I'm going to speak on. What am I going to say? I did that in the beginning. But then I changed to yes. Was it easy? Oh, never easy. Never easy. Never easy. You struggle to want to know the will of God so that the Word of God is preached in a way that the Spirit of God will take it and use it in people's hearts. Can I do it myself? No way. What I'm sharing to you this morning is what God has given to me, and I'm not going to get through this service because we don't have till 1 o'clock. What God has given to me, he shared with me, and Satan comes along and he'll say to me, he'll make me doubt. Oh, these people know all those things. Oh, you know, that isn't very profound. Or that isn't, you know, it doesn't sound like you spent much time in the Word. And he can give you all kinds of excuses. And you want to call back and say, I can't make it. But you can't lie. So you walk forward in faith, trusting God to give you what you need to do the task. And that doesn't matter what it is. I remember when I was working at camp with my brother Gary, and when Gary had to move out of camp and gave me the response, Patty and I were still there, and Gary and Jan weren't. The board came to us and said to me, okay, what do you think of becoming the director of Graphite Camp? I'd been there with Gary for 15, almost 20 years. Probably 20 years. And I shook my head no. And the reason was is because there had been a list of things made out for a director or an administrator of Graphite Camp that I didn't meet up with. I didn't fall into that category. And then after getting a couple people to come in and work with us and then the Lord moving them on, they came back to me and said, okay, what do you think? And I said, well, I guess I can accept the fact that I'm a director of Graphite Camp and not an administrator. See, administrator goes into the office and works in the office. A director can work from any place. It's almost like working online today. You're needed, but you don't have to be exactly there. And that's the way it was. And so as a result, I said, if you can accept the fact that when you come on a campgrounds and you don't find me behind a desk in my office, then I'll be the director of Graphite Camp. And so that's what I did. And I was able to do that role. But I couldn't meet the other requirements. But God made it possible. God made it possible for us to be able to do what we did for the 40 years that we were involved there. In 1 John 2, 5 and 6, we read there that 2, 5 and 6. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Walk as Jesus walked. Pretty tall order, isn't it? I don't know about you, but my first response is, I could never do that. I could never do it. In the Old Testament, we're told Enoch walked with God. Kudos to these men that had little backup such as expert teachers, books, internet, and numerous people around them to encourage them and hold them accountable. I like the word walked, indicating a continuous, harmonious relationship with God. It wasn't a stroll with God on Sunday. The rest of the week I forgot about him. That isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about a harmonious walk with God. I like that because I'm a type of person that likes action. I'm busy. I like to be busy. I have a hard time sitting down and my wife wants me to watch a program on TV and I have a hard time sitting the whole time. I'm up and going and going. So walking was good for me. And same with my Christian life. You know, to go and spend 1 hour studying was a real task for me. Then I've got to get up and go do something. Then come back and try it again. And then come back and try it again. So I couldn't sit down for 2 days. And when I hear tell of preachers that spend 35 hours or 40 hours studying the Word of God to present a sermon that they use. And sometimes I've looked at it and said, wow, 40 hours, you didn't really accomplish much in 40 hours. But that's a Bible teacher. A teacher can get into the Word, or an expositor can get into the Word, and they want to break every word down so that you understand it. One of the things that Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he says this, chapter 11, verse 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Can you say that? I was challenged on that not too long ago, back a few years ago, that as people look at me and see me, are they seeing Christ in me? Are they seeing everything that I do reflecting upon Christ? Paul could say it. Can you say it? It says that how do we know we belong to Christ? Well, he says you belong to Christ when you obey his word, resulting in God's love truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. And one of the evidences of knowing that you belong to Christ is the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and accepts Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And what happens is that when I don't even know he's there. But he's given as a gift. Why? Because God knows that we need a power source. God knew that we would need somebody in our lives to help us to complete what Peter said. Be ye holy as I am holy. Can we be? Not when I look inside. I say I can't. But only God with the help, or us with the help of the Holy Spirit, wanting to do the will of God, will we ever reflect the very nature of God in our lives. We need him. He is the one who is going to empower us, giving us the power. And he's also that still small voice. You know, I keep praying almost every day, oh God, don't let me miss out on that still small voice of your Spirit speaking to me today. Why? Because I want the will of God to be revealed to me. I want to know it. One of the reasons is not too long ago, reading the Decision magazine, and I had it here with me this morning. There's a quote there, but I've used up my time, so I can't use it. Billy Graham used a quote saying, my fear is that God will withhold his blessings on my life. That's the motivation we should have for standing tall and walking with God. That we don't want to miss out on any blessings that God has for us. You know why? Because over in the Psalms it says that God is willing to give to us the things that we don't know anything about that we need in our lives if we're willing to walk with God. God will not withhold any good thing to those that walk upright, that are willing to walk in the will of God according to the word of God. That's what God is saying. God is saying, I am willing. And you know what? That verse only came to me back a few years ago. A lot of verses I have in Scripture, some of them came because of young people at the last of youth camp getting up and sharing something at the end of youth camp. And that, I had another part there too. I got halfway through this sermon this morning. With regards to another verse that some young people have given to me. But that verse stood out to me. It was through a reading that I come across that verse. God will not withhold any good thing to those who walk after him. What a motivation to us as believers that we will not miss out on the blessings that God wants for us, because he's a good God, a good, good Father, and he wants the best for us. And if we're willing to walk in his favor, he will give it. Why can I say that with confidence? Because I've seen it. I've seen it. You know, sometimes we would like to get up and give our testimony to share how God worked in our lives. But, you know, He's saying, you're just boasting about yourself. You're boasting about yourself. And then you'll look at it, and sometimes young people have a chance to share their testimony at camp, and they say, well, I never did anything wrong, so I really don't have much of a testimony. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. We don't have to. We have to just share what we know. Like the man who was healed by Jesus when he... They were pursuing him, saying, who was this man? Who was this man? Who was this man? And he said, I don't know his name. Boyd Robinson's translation. But I do know that once, but now, I'm a different man. I'm a different person. And we should be able to say that about it in our own lives. What do we know? What do you know for sure? Well, in conclusion, my time's gone. I know that I'm going to heaven. When I came in this morning, it was really great to know that Keith had come back to the chapel and some of you guys that were here. And I've been praying for you because Gary has kept me updated, and I've been interested in what was taking place there with regards to Sterling and what is taking place here. And when Keith came in, he had counseled at camp years ago, and we had our masks on. And when he came up and touched me on the shoulder, and I turned around and I give me your hand. Shook his hand. And I said, if I'm going to be sick and die, we'll do it together because we're going to spend a long time together in eternity. I didn't mean to say I was going to kill him or was murder or anything like that. But you know, we're going to spend a long time together when we get to glory. When we meet in the presence of the King, we're going to spend eternity. We don't have an idea of what it's about. What heavens is about. Can't get on that. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you this morning that you have revealed to us that your Son was the Son of God. That we know because John knew, and he was faithful to write it down and share it with us, to convince us and give us the words that would say, and confirm to us that your Son was from the Father. And oh God, I thank you this morning that as we come to you today, that you have given us the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to open up our minds, to give us clarity, to be able to understand what the Word of God says. And Father, we pray that we would be able to be convinced and know where we stand today when it comes to eternity, that we stand with you, and that if you were to come back again, we're going to be with you. Whether we live or whether we die, we are in Christ. Thank you, Father, for that assurance today. Thank you for the chance to share your word today. And we pray that you would go with us, and may your word keep resounding in our hearts. Don't let it just disappear. But may your Spirit keep us alive with these words, that we might live it and show to the world, a world that's in a mess, that the truth lies in the book, and the book is your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.